Good morning, everybody. Andy, are we ready in South Africa?
Yeah, we're all here, Stephen.
Are we all connected?
Sounds like it.
All there. Right, welcome to our year-end results presentation. If I go straight into it, I think that the past year was what we would still call a mixed operating environment. There were periods when life looked pretty good, and then there were periods in the early part of the year where life looked pretty bad. We did see a very strong run-up in equity markets towards the back end, the last quarter of the year, and we're still in a very low interest rate environment. And I suppose the big feature of the results from our point of view was that the rand was particularly weak, and that would have had quite a big impact on our results. I think what we did see was good growth in our key earnings drivers. We saw funds under management up 14%, which is 20% in stable currency. We saw customer accounts down 3.2% in pounds, but still up 3.7% in stable currency. Obviously, that is part of the deliberate strategy to try and diversify our customer deposit base and to bring down the cost of our deposits. And then we saw core loans and advances up marginally in sterling at 1%, but up 8% in stable currency. So all those numbers moved in the right direction. We also saw growth in top-line income, 3.9% in sterling, 10.2% in stable currency. So I think we're starting to get the income line moving again as conditions start to improve somewhat on the ground, although still a long way to go. I think that another big feature of the results were the lower impairments. Obviously, last year we had impairments rose significantly. This year, clearly, they came down by 22.8%. The big drop-off was really in Australia, which last year was, we had a big write-off here, and we tidied up the book. In South Africa, we've seen a big drop-off in gross defaults. I think our net defaults are down to below 2% at about 1.9%, although in rand, our impairments are slightly up off the back of a larger book. And then in the UK, we also saw impairments come down, and our gross defaults and our net defaults likewise have also come down. So overall, we believe that we're on the right path with regard to impairments, and that the trend is good. We also had a moderate increase in costs. A lot of the cost increase in costs came from acquisitions that we made either in the previous year, which was Evolution, which had an impact on the costs in our wealth and investment business, and more recently we made an acquisition in Ireland called NCB and a small acquisition in Australia. Those added about between them 160 heads, so overall that would have had an impact on costs, we also obviously in some of the businesses that we have been growing we would also have had a moderate rise in costs. But if you look at costs, we've grown cost 13.9% over the past 10 years, and we've grown revenue 15.2% over the past 10 years. So, I mean, we're not quite happy with where our jaws are right now, because they have narrowed a little bit over the last year, but clearly we would try and see them open up over the next few years as we get more efficient and if we're in an improved revenue environment. So overall, we believe that all those factors led to quite a big improvement in performance of the group. The operating profit is up 20% to £433 million, 32% in stable currency. Before tax and impairments were flat, but up 9% in stable currency. And attributable earnings were up 23%, 35% in stable currency. So earnings per share as a consequence up 16.4%. Clearly we gave you guidance in the middle of March, and this is at the upper end of the guidance range. And that also would have translated into 28% in stable currency. Dividend per share, 5.9% from 17 pence to 18 pence. So we've moved the final dividend up by 1p from 9 pence to 10 pence. And because of the rand, shareholders' equity remained flat. And core loans in advance, as I mentioned, was up marginally in sterling. If we look at rand, this is only for the South African shareholders. I know the UK shareholders don't really care about these numbers. They look at the numbers in sterling. I think it would have shown quite a different picture if we were a South African firm reporting in South Africa with operating profit before tax up 37% and adjusted earnings up 39% and EPS up 32%. And your dividend actually received is 14% up on last year. So I think clearly this just demonstrates a different effect of the rand. We have made some progress on achieving our financial targets. So we did see an improvement in ROE. It's clearly still way too low. And that's partly driven by very low interest rates, partly driven by the fact that cost of money is still a lot more expensive than pre-crisis, and partly driven by activity levels still not normal in the type of industry we're in. But certainly helped a lot by our performance in asset management, which has a very high ROE, and performance in the wealth business, which is starting to get a decent ROE on the price of the acquisitions, that because we've bought a lot of businesses in that space. So on tangible, 11.7%, but as I said, still nowhere near where it should be and still off our target range. Our adjusted EPS growth did meet our targets, but clearly that was off the back of a very poor period last year, so which we weren't that happy with or proud of. Cost-to-income ratio slightly out on stable currency, actually within our target range, but it's slightly out, but we'll make sure we get that back into line over the next year. And then dividend cover 2.1 within our target range. Capital adequacy, we adjusted our Tier 1 target down to 10.5 because of Basel 3. And Basel 3 has been implemented. We're complying with Basel 3 both in South Africa and Australia. Obviously, the UK Basel 3 will only come in next year, and it probably will have about a 50 basis point effect on that ratio. So that's really a summary against financial targets. I think if we look at divisional highlights, we did see growth from all three divisions. Asset management up from £134 million to £140 million. Partly affected by the rand and the fact that the equity markets, the strong growth in funds under management, really only came through in the last quarter. Because the equity markets really ran in the last quarter. The wealth and investment business up from £39 million to £51 million. That's reflective of the integration of Williams de Brou, the fact that for the first half of the year we had a lot of costs in the system. Some of those costs have been taken out, but also a lot of support from equity markets in the back end of the year. And then the specialist bank moving from £186 million to £242 million. Again, a big drop off in impairments. Pre-impairment numbers are pretty flat. Marginally down in pounds, but up in rand. I mean, in stable currency. So, again, asset management, I think we've got a very competitive long-term performance across all our investment capabilities. We've seen the funds under management grow to just under £70 billion. And that's from £61.6 billion, a growth of 13.4%. And we're still getting pretty good net inflows. We had £4.1 billion of net inflows. The operating margin was about 34.5%. If you look at, I'll talk about that in a moment. And I don't think return on equity is that relevant to this type of business, but you can see it is exceptionally high. I think that we have got positive momentum in the business. And that has been supported by sustained performance. Clearly, it's subject to risks imposed by the market, and I think you saw today that the markets are down because Bernanke made a statement and the Chinese manufacturing was a bit went slightly negative, the manufacturing index, and obviously these types of things do affect markets, and the performance of this business is doing very well on the ground, but it does get support from markets at the end of the day. So if you look at our history in this business, you can see that our operating margin lives between about 33% and 37%. And our net inflows vary in 208, 209, 2 or 3%. So they live maybe on average off this kind of base, 3 to 6%, maybe slightly high. We had very strong inflows 2010, 2011. And we still had very good inflows, but clearly you can't maintain inflows of 16% per annum as you get bigger. And then you can see that our average income as a percentage of funds under management also is around about 0.6 as the mix of the money we manage shifts. Then our wealth and investment business, again, I mentioned, you know, higher average funds under management. We had inflows of about 0.8. That's not really reflective because we're still in the transition on Williams de Broglie. There is a bit of money that we would have lost. So on the old Rensburg business and the South African business, we've had much better relative inflows. We have migrated Williams de Broglie onto the platform, as we've mentioned before, and we rebranded Investec Wealth and Investment, and that's all moving according to plan. And there was still a lot of integration costs reflected in these results. We're starting to see good growth in the migration of our non-discretionary funds into discretionary funds. In South Africa, we saw funds under management in Rand up 28%, and that's part of our overall strategy, to migrate clients who are give us non-discretionary mandates into discretionary mandates. We're certainly looking to grow that client base. So your operating profit up 30%, operating margin still 20%, that is still too low, and ROE 15.8% on what we pay for those businesses, as opposed to what we earn on tangible. Clearly on tangible it's a much higher ROE, but it would be in this kind of business. And then we had very good growth in the funds under management. And I think we now have a very well-established investment management business for private clients. I think it's operating under a single brand, and we believe that we're well-placed to continue to expand and offer to our international and higher net worth type clientele. So if we look at the history, and we only have a short history because we've only consolidated these businesses in June 2010 when we bought Rensburg, the balance of Rensburg that we didn't own. The operating margin has dropped, but that's really because of the Williams de Broglie acquisition, and part of the strategy is to get that operating margin back into the mid to higher 20s. We have got organic growth in funds under management. Last year, again, we went backwards a bit, but that was, again, Williams de Broglie. This year, we're starting to get the momentum back, and our average income we earn is just about 0.65% of funds under management. I think on the specialist bank, earnings were up 30%. You can see the cost-to-income ratio at 62.8 is still too high for this type of business, and the ROE is way too low. I think we have made good progress on the one bank process, and that will continue as we reshape and simplify our business model and respond to the issues that have been out there for some time. I think we experienced quite a good performance in certain of our activities in South Africa. Both our private equity and investment property portfolios did well. We had lower activity in the corporate and institutional banking business. In the UK, we did have an improved performance in the corporate advisory business and the principal investment portfolios, but transactional activity is still in the banking businesses is still low and not firing on all cylinders yet. And then we had that big decrease in impairments in Australia. We performed particularly well in the corporate advisory business, and we saw an improved performance from our corporate and specialized lending activities. And we've got a good platform in professional finance that continues to meet expectations. So for us, this business, the macro environment does remain volatile. And again, that's evidenced by what equity markets are doing today. But we do believe that market conditions are more moving into our favor, and we believe we're well positioned to grow market share going forward. I think if you look at the history of this business, you can see that income has been relatively flat, but we are managing to grow net interest income as we grow our loan portfolios. We have managed to grow fees and commissions, and our trading, investment and trading income is still at a lowish sort of level, again based on the environment that we're in. Clearly, March 10 and March 11, we were boosted by debt buybacks, which, you know, were not repeatable in this type of market, and we don't have, you know, much stuff to buy back. But clearly, overall, you know, our drive in this business is to drive our core earnings drivers and to improve levels of activity. But we do need some support from markets. So, We see in this business that costs are relatively stable, and that will continue to remain so as we continue to simplify our business model, and that impairments are now for the first time tracking down, and hopefully that trend will continue as long as economies maintain themselves on an even keel. So historically, these numbers don't look as pretty as asset management for the wealth business. You can see the cost-income ratio has tracked up a bit. We need to get that down back into the mid-50s overall for our organization. The ROE, as we mentioned, is far too low, and we have not been growing our core earnings drivers since the financial crisis, although you've seen over the last few years they are starting to grow again. Notwithstanding the fact that risk-weighted assets have increased, and that's really the implementation of Basel 2.5 and Basel 3 and the change in regulation have had a big impact on risk-weighted assets. And you're, again, on the credit loss ratio, you're starting to see the credit loss ratio come down. It's still a bit of a way from normal, but it is moving towards normal. So I think if we look at where we are in 2008, clearly, we were hit by the financial crisis. We had to relook at our business model. We had to relook at what we were as an organization. We earned 40% of our revenues in those days from capital-light activities and 60% of our revenues from capital-intensive activities. We made a call to try and balance the business model back towards away from capital-intensive to more capital-light, and we revised our mission statement to redefine what we were as a firm, become a specialist bank and asset manager as opposed to just being a specialist bank. And so we put more emphasis on our asset management and wealth management businesses, and as a consequence we also bought the minorities out of Rensburg and have made other acquisitions in the wealth management space, and the asset management businesses continue to drive itself organically. So we focus, as you know all this, we focus on the three core areas: asset management, specialist banking and the wealth business. And today we have 49% of our revenue comes from capital-light activities and 51% from capital-intensive activities. So there has been a fairly dramatic shift in the overall business model, and I think that people still regarded us as a bank, but clearly we're much more, we're not a bank, we're a bank and an asset manager, and therefore have a totally different mix of activities today. So as a consequence, wealth and asset management make up 44% of our operating profit. As I suppose the specialist bank recovers, that number may adjust, but those two businesses also will get supported if equity markets continue to do what they were doing over the last quarter, not what they're doing today. So we have built a solid base of recurring income. It's at 68% of total revenue, and you can see that annuity fees and commissions and net interest income is up 42% since 2008, and that's with interest rates being probably 5-6% lower if I take our overall firm on average. Our reinvestment rate of our free money is 5-6% lower than it was in 2008 before the crisis. And we've seen other fees double to £342 million. We've seen trading and investment income actually come down. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing. That's probably not a great thing, because but that's where markets allowed us to be. So overall, I think you're seeing quite a dramatic shift in the business activity. We've managed our capital position, recognizing all the new rules and regulations that keep coming in at us. We've implemented Basel 3, as I said, in South Africa and Australia, and therefore we dropped our Tier 1 target to a minimum of 10.5, because you have higher risk weights under Basel 3 than you had under Basel 2 and even under Basel 2.5. So we're still within our target range, and we've got a stable capital position. You're all well aware that we've invested a lot of money in building our brand and developing our franchise. We actively support our communities. We are an organization that develops its people. We hire a lot of young people into the organization and try and grow them within the organization, and many of our people have been with us for many, many years. And then we also make a contribution to broader society by ensuring that we do good things for the planet. Our strategic focus is we want to maintain the momentum that we've got in our asset management business. and we think that they've done an excellent job. We want to internationalize our wealth and investment business, because at the moment it's still very much two geographies, and we have a lot of international clients that we need to be able to offer product to and services to, and we want to continue to simplify the specialist banking business model. And that's really the job that we're trying to do at the moment, is concentrating on making sure that we streamline and simplify the specialist banking model, which perhaps became miles too complex over our years of growth from probably early 2000s to the financial crisis. I think we also have a very good client base, and we need to continue to leverage that client base, ensuring that the clients are using our products and that our services, and that there's a lot of cross-utilization of those products and services. Since we started the One Bank project, we've seen significant enhancement to the cross-selling and the collaboration, cooperation between our different business units. And then we also want to be front-footed and continue to try and attract new clients, extending the depth and breadth of our franchise. So we're looking to try and grow our business. We're looking to try and make sure that we build momentum off the back of an improved environment and a more tailored business model. So I think, in closing, we have significantly realigned the business model over the past number of years. We have a very scalable platform, both in asset management and wealth management business, our wealth businesses, that can take a lot more funds under management off the infrastructure that we have, and that we have made a substantial effort in the One Bank process to streamline our banking operations and improve our client experience, and at the same time leverage the client base. And that we have a banking franchise that we believe is well placed to broaden and develop its offering. So we know that we're in a volatile economic environment. I think, again, today's markets just tell you that you have a strong rally or a strong run. And is it a pullback? Is it a turn? You know, we believe it's just a pullback, and markets will carry on moving forward. But we still have not seen the positive momentum in equity markets reflected yet in the real economy. We are seeing our cost of funding come down, and that has been particularly evident since, I would say, November, December. But still, overall cost of funding was probably higher this year than it was the year before because of the early part of the year. It takes a long time for the stuff to run off. And I think that our repositioning of our business as a specialist bank and asset manager, and the shift to less capital intensive businesses, has made us very well placed for any sustained turnaround in the operating environment. So we're happy with where our franchise is, and we believe that we're well recognized in all our markets, and that we will just continue on the path of building business depth in our core areas of focus. So again, I thank you all for attending, and we look forward to some questions. I'll start off in London. James, I know you're going to come first out the blocks.
Good morning. Two if I may. Firstly, on the wealth management business, could you quantify the amount of sort of dual running costs and integration costs that you ran through the business last year? And the second question is relating to the funding for lending scheme. Could you sort of comment on what sort of benefit you expect in terms of funding costs indirectly as the other banks sort of massively price down for deposits over the coming year, and also what you see as the competitive threat as the banks, UK banks this year in particular, are massively incentivised to do SME lending?
Now, you've got a few bounces there. I think Steve Elliott, where are you? You want to tell James how much duplicate costs you had in the last year? You don't want to tell him. You want to don't give him a rough estimate.
Well, we set out what we were going to save on the integration. The integration was going to cost us close to between 13 and 15 million pounds. And we're going to take out about £7.5 million worth of costs. And that's going to be taken over the next, this year, and the year coming forward.
Okay. Dave van der Walt, you want to answer the question on the funding for lending scheme?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there were two parts to that question. Funding for lending scheme, yes, we will participate in that. We haven't to date because of the surplus funding position, but as our assets grow, we'll look to take advantage of it. They've also widened the scope of what can be included in there, so that's been useful for us. So that puts us on the same competitive position as anybody else. I think, you know, our main focus on SME lending has been in the small ticket asset-based finance business. We've got, we're particularly well positioned there, now probably second largest in the UK behind close in terms of volumes and capability. And I think we've got a leap on the market there so that it shouldn't really affect our competitive position, and we can currently maintain margins within that.
But you've also seen some large banks pull out of that market. So it's not all going one way, James. Any more questions? No more questions in the UK? Okay, can I? We go to SA? Any questions there, Andy?
Yeah, hang on, Stephen.
Hi, it's Voigt here. Just a question on your internationalization of your wealth and investment business. Can you be a bit more specific as to exactly what you're looking to do? Are you looking to acquire outside of the UK, or is it more of an organic strategy?
At the moment, our strategy is primarily organic. And clearly, you know, these businesses are very expensive to buy. And so we see ourselves internationalizing off our current platforms. Are they there?
Yeah, hang on a minute. Hang on, Stephen.
Wait.
Thanks, Stephen. Ilan Levy from Macquarie. You mentioned the strategy to streamline the banking business. Can you give a little bit more color there, please?
Well, we've had the single bank process going on for about 2 years. And what we were attempting to achieve with that is to ensure that we don't have duplicate systems and processes. So in each geography, we have appointed single chief operating officers for the banking businesses to ensure that we're not building up all sorts of infrastructure, which is something that we were doing. We've cut out a whole lot of processes. We cut out a whole lot of duplication. And now the next phase of that would be to try and get it more synchronized globally. So that would be on the back office front, and then on the front office side, or just to make sure that again, that we make sure that no, we're not duplicating it. There was times when we were duplicating through things between the private bank and the corporate bank, and we have been eliminating all that duplication over the last while to ensure that we focus the right people on the right client with the right products. It's not a one-day game, that. You know, it's more like a couple of series.
Hi, Steve. Ron Clippin here. Steve, could you give us a view on where you see the business model changing in the next 3 to 5 years? In other words, the whole setup, profit contribution, divisional, and the like. What is your vision that you want to achieve in terms of your ongoing transformation on a 3 to 5 year basis? Can you just fill in and perhaps give us some colour, some details?
So I'm not going to give you more than that,
broad,
Ronnie. I mean,
rather than broad,
yeah, it's you know, we're on a path. As you can see, we're on a path to our so it's again, as I said, you know, we want to maintain momentum in asset management, and we can't tell you where life will exactly be in 5 years' time because lots of different things can happen. But we want to maintain momentum in asset management. We want to internationalize the wealth business, which I think we, you know, well on the path of doing. And then we want to simplify our specialist bank and improve our ROEs in the specialist bank in particular, because that's where the drag on ROE is. So we're just going on the path we're going on. And at the end of the day, in 5 years' time, we'll be where we'll be. But we certainly believe we'll be a lot further ahead than where we were, you know, 5 years ago and where we are now. And it's, again, a case of us making sure that the business model is simplified, that we're not wasting money on stupid projects that don't go anywhere in life, and that we're not, you know, dealing with the wrong client base, that we're dealing with our target client base, and that we're getting leverage across our products to our target client base. So, you know, I can't forecast where we'll be in 5 years' time, but we know we're on a good path, and we need to perpetuate ourselves on that path.
Stephen, I think that's it from here.
Nothing else? Okay, one last shot in London. Right, thank you all for attending, and we look forward to seeing you in September. And some of you a lot earlier. Cheers.